Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, welcome to a special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. It is Election Day 2024. This is the day that literally history will pivot on according to the way people vote. And Gary Bauer is with me in studio. Gary is the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Gary, it's good to spend this day with you today.
Well, it's good to be with you too, Roger. It's such an important time.
Yeah, I remember 4 years ago, Dr. Dobson sent out a letter and an email to our constituents, and he was referring back to the election of 1864 and wondering what America would have looked like back then if Abraham Lincoln didn't win re-election. And I thought to myself, wow, that really is dramatic, because when you juxtapose that 160 years later, we're in a situation where I think it could equally be stated that if the election goes one way and not the way of biblical worldview, America is going to look like a much different country tomorrow.
There's no question about it, Roger. You know, I saw something the other day. There's a group in our country, because we are a free country. People can believe or not believe. You don't have to be religious, or you can be religious. But there's a group in America that are legitimately described as atheists, not just agnostics, but people that have decided there is no God. And somebody did a study and found that that group, which is about 8 to 10% of the population, votes like 95% of the time. It was
wow.
Some humongous figure. And at the same time, a study has come out that shows that barely half of Christians can rouse themselves in a country that was built on ordered liberty under God.
Amen.
Can barely rouse themselves to go and spend a little bit of time voting to preserve their liberty. It just summarized to me what's wrong. And it's also, Roger, quite frankly, it's almost human nature. You know, we've been free for so many years. Most Americans haven't experienced anything but freedom unless they came here from a country that lost it to Marxism or some other totalitarian philosophy. So we just think it's here. It's always been here. It'll be here for my children and my grandchildren. Listen to me, people. No, it won't. Our founders understood that every generation has to preserve liberty anew.
Yes.
You've got to sacrifice again. This is one of those moments, and we must rise to the occasion, or history will judge us as the generation that allowed freedom to slip away in America.
It's shocking to me, Gary Bauer, as we sit here on Election Day, knowing that a lot of Christians who listen to our program have voted, and that's good. Many of you are listening to this program right now, and the program's on 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock. We're on 1,200 stations across the country. If you have not voted yet and you have hesitation, you're saying, well, look, 50 million Christians didn't vote last time, and we're still here, and God's still on the throne. We implore you here at the James Dobson Family Institute, go to Countdown to Decision 2024, our special website at drjamesdobson.org. Look at the voter guides, especially if you're in a swing state, and then take the time to vote. You hear people talking about, well, it took me a couple of hours. Well, what is a couple of hours of your time versus the freedom and liberty that this nation was founded upon that some very well-meaning people are seeking to undermine? And if the church sits idly by, I mean, you and I saw this in 2020, Gary, the margin of victory for one side over the other was about 7 million votes, and there were something like 50 million Christians who didn't vote. If 20 million Christians had gotten out and voted their values that day, we'd be in a much different situation now than we were then. And now it's even more perilous, as you mentioned. It feels like we are literally at the edge of that cliff that no one thought we could go over. And without Christians voting, it's going to change the tide of the country.
Yeah, you're right, Roger. Look, I run into, we all talk to the same brothers and sisters in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will say to me, Gary, I'm just not interested in government. They're all a bunch of, you know, crooks. I'm not interested in politics. I just want to pay attention to the Bible and God's word. Well, you may not be interested in government, but trust me, my friends, I'm sitting here in Washington, D.C. Government is interested in you. Mm-hmm. Government is interested in our churches, in our Christian schools. They're interested in those of us that homeschool. They're interested in what we're teaching our own children in our home. There are bureaucrats all over this city that are trying to restrict parental rights, religious liberty rights. They're trying to take churches and keep them completely out of the public policy debate. They want to heavily regulate Christian schools. You can't run away from this. History teaches us that if good men and women, if men and women of faith do not stand up and defend their rights, then inevitably they will lose them. That history lesson is taught over and over and over again. If you want your children and grandchildren to have the kind of life you did, lives of freedom, lives where they could seek and worship God as they chose to, then you need, as part of your parental responsibility, as part of your love for those children, you need to exercise your citizenship rights. Dr. Dobson has said many times, there's a great battle going on in America, and the winner of that battle will get our children and the right to teach them what to believe about life and death, love and sex, and freedom and slavery.
It's amazing how many Christians, when you put it to them that way, say, well, wait, I'm going to go vote. I'm going to do this right now. Pray. Vote, and then share the information that you have heard and that you've seen. Gary and I talk often here on this broadcast about, as Dr. Dobson does, Owen Strand does, Michelle Bachman does, about getting good information and then sharing it with other people, because the legacy media, as they call them, really doesn't have a vested interest in telling you the truth. They have a vested interest in selling whatever they're trying to sell. And we, as a faith-based organization, are based in biblical values, and it's all about truth. It's about knowing who the truth is and knowing the truth and the truth setting you free. We encourage you to vote. Go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-2-decision-2024 right now. Get a voter's guide for your area, or just get the national voter's guide. Pray over it and then go to vote, because every vote counts. Now, recently, Gary and I were at an event where we heard a very powerful presentation from an actor who's become an activist and an author. His name is Kirk Cameron, and he gave us a real big pep talk about why it's important to stand up to drag queen story hours in libraries, and why it's important for Christians to take the examples from the past and put them into practice even today. Let's get into a portion of that inspiring presentation right now on the special Election Day edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We are lacking brave men. We're lacking brave men in our pulpits, and in our seminaries, and in our schools, and in our homes, in the halls of Congress. As I talk to men, I see the looks on their faces. So many of them feel confused, castrated, masked, afraid, and controlled. Think of the news. Crime, open borders, human trafficking, inflation, toxic clouds, China, the economy, the WEF, drag queens. How do you respond? End times? We read about this, it's supposed to happen. Feel sad for your kids, for your grandkids? You feel discouraged, inching toward the cliff of despair? I got a question. What if this current cultural setback is really a divine setup for a spiritual comeback led by the family of faith? If you find yourself on the edge of your seat just praying for God to get us out of here, because there's nothing that can be done. We've crossed the line, we've gone too far, the enemies are too big, and you've got rapture fever. What if this current cultural setback is really a divine setup for a spiritual comeback led by the family of faith? As I've traveled, I found there's two distinct groups of people that I listen to and that I interact with, and they are reporters and reformers. They're not the same. Reporters are people who talk about bad things going on. We've got lots of them. They announce the hypocrisy. They point out the double standard. They scare us with the things that are designed to motivate us. And I'm always wondering, what's the solution? What do I do? I'm on the team. Sign me up. What do we do? And then there's reformers. They don't just talk about the problems. They provide positive alternatives and solutions and cures, and they reform stuff. They fix it. By the way, I believe that trying to reform culture without the gospel is futile. Trying to reform culture without the gospel is a non-starter. It doesn't work. I love listening to people who are far smarter than I am. And they've got great ideas, and even those on the conservative side, they've got great ideas. But without the gospel, they can't fix the problem, because we understand that the heart of the problem is not a political problem, it's a spiritual problem, it's the problem of the heart. And at the end of the day, they can't even live up to their own standards. They can't even live up to their own conscience. You can spout about the Ten Commandments all the time, and I agree with the Ten Commandments, but you can't keep them. We're all stuck in Adam's prison, even as brilliant conservatives and politicians and policymakers, with a lot of good advice, but at the end of the day, we can't follow through. Reminds me of Paul and Silas in prison in the New Testament, one of the most beautiful stories that we read there. They've got the gospel that can turn the world upside down, but they're stuck in prison. What they needed was a divine jailbreak. God sends an earthquake, throws open the doors. The jailer gets converted. They go out into the world, and they literally turn it upside down with the world. That's what we need in our churches. That's what we need in our country, is a divine earthquake to rattle and shake and make the walls fall down and get the church out of the little boxes, our comfy, cozy little religious pietistic boxes, and get out there into politics and into arts and entertainment and the financial sectors and everywhere else. And we can turn our world upside down. True reformers are products of the gospel themselves, and they lead with the gospel. God himself is a reformer. The world got off track, heading toward death and destruction. He's got his own version of the Great Reset with the deluge, the flood. And he reforms the world, not just complaining about it and reporting about it to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Abraham was a reformer. Noah was a reformer. Moses was a reformer. Jesus reformed humanity itself. St. Patrick was a reformer. Luther was a reformer. Calvin, Wallace, Braveheart, William Wilberforce, reformers. The Pilgrims, reformers. The founders, reformers. How did they do it? In the face of their woke mobs, cancel culture, and government tyranny. I know how they did it. It's the way that God's people always do it, against all odds, when all hope is gone. It starts with seeing the world the right way. It's not by believing what you hear politicians say. It's not by believing what you hear through the media and through your news feed. It's putting on a set of biblical glasses, a set of Bible promises that you can take to the bank. It's like when you look through those glasses, everything you see is colored by what's filtered through those glasses. Without them, things are out of focus. You can guess, but if you want clarity, you got to put on the glasses. I need to do that too. So how do you show a crooked culture their crookedness? I love what Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said. He said, don't waste any time trying to explain the crookedness of a stick. Simply hold a straight stick up next to it, and the work is done. Preach the truth, and error is abashed in its presence. Hollywood, the medical mafia, big tech, deforming children, deforming concepts of love and gender, sexuality. When Jesus was asked a question by the compromisers and the apostates and hypocrites in the leadership positions within the church of his day about divorce, and was asked if a man could divorce his wife for any reason, he answered and he said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Right there, Jesus told us everything we need to know about gender, marriage, and sexuality. Yeah. It's an inside-out strategy. It's a bottom-up strategy. It starts in the heart, it moves out to the home, through the community, through the church, and into the halls of Congress. It starts in your house and my house, and then works its way up to the White House. We're the solution. We're the leaders. We are the sovereigns of this nation. No one can fix it but us, as God's power works through us. That's what the founders understood. That's why they structured the Constitution the way that they did. This is actually great news. It's tons of responsibility, but I believe we were born for this. I believe that God gave us new creation courage for this moment. He gave us second birth bravery for a time just like this. This means that the drag queens aren't really the problem. It means that China is not the source of the problem, or the WHO, or the CDC, or the CIA, or the IRS, or the WEF, or MS-13, or HHS, or Soros, or the Silicon Valley rulers. They're not really the problem. By the way, those organizations, they're nothing compared to ancient Egypt and the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, the Roman Empire, the Vikings. When the practice back in the ancient days was to throw babies up onto the arms of metal molten gods, create giant structures of burning men filled with political prisoners and dissidents and Christians and light them on fire, human torches made of people, feeding them to lions, the horrors of what we're moving toward has happened before. This isn't a progressive movement and ideology. It's regressing back to pagan ways before the gospel permeated itself through people's understanding of how to build an entire culture and society on biblical law and the gospels. And by the way, all these ancient evil monsters, God never told his people to fear them. He said, "Fear me, and I'll bury them. Don't be afraid and discouraged. I'm the Lord your God. I will go with you wherever you go." But he said, "If you forget me, I'll bring them and they'll bury you." And he would discipline his people by bringing their enemies upon them like a river, like a swarm, like a flood. He said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear their prayers. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land." We, I believe, need to recapture a vision of victory as Christians and stop conceding this pessimistic, defeatist, defeat mindset, crying Black Hawk down, time for the rapture, let's get out of here. It's too late. That window hasn't closed yet. What would have happened if Washington thought the window had closed, or the pilgrims thought that the window had closed? The king had already set himself up as God on earth, head of the church, head of the government. They had no freedom. They have nothing like we have today. They didn't tuck their head between their knees and got ready for the end. They said, "Let's go. We got a Bible. I see what it says." They made a 500-year plan, get on a little wine ship, and they go across the Atlantic Ocean, and they build the greatest nation the world has ever known. It's what Alfred did. It's what Patrick and Knox did. Now, I want to give a word to the brave men and women in the room who are fired up about everything that they've heard tonight. I know, guys, I've now moved to Tennessee, and there's a lot more of these guys in Tennessee than in California, but I got guys with "Don't Tread on Me" flags and a house full of guns and big trucks, and they're ready to go all 1776 right now. Yep. And what I want to say is that before we go all 1776, we better first turn to Psalm 17, verse 6, and ask God to bend his ear and hear our humble prayer to help us as the church reform ourselves first. And once you've looked into the mirror individually and corporately as the church, then when we've proven ourselves to be faithful in small things, God then puts us in charge of greater things. I would be scared to death for the leaders of our church today to be put in charge of the civil government. What if God said that? Waved a wand, boom, right now. So when you see on your phone, as you scroll through the news feed, Guthrum sailing in on his Viking ships and all of his men on longboats, or the Alphabet Army and the Purple Hair Platoon grooming your children, Or socialism and communism metastasizing through your government, destroying your culture. Don't sit back. Put your head in your hands and cry in your Chick-fil-A soup. Stop waiting for Jesus to take us out of the world. I think Jesus is waiting for you and me and our children to pick up our Bibles, heed the warning of the watchman, and take charge of this world for the glory of God and the blessing of all people.
And that concludes a powerful exhortation from actor, author, and activist Kirk Cameron on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Of course, today is Election Day here in the United States. We air on 1,200-plus radio stations all across the country in different times of day. So if it is still the time of day in your area where voting is still permissible, the polls are still open, we encourage you to pray, see how God would have you steward your vote, and then go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. Download one of the voter guides we have. Watch a couple of the videos encouraging you to be informed about how to cast your vote and do so biblically. At the end of the day, it's about the 50 million Christians who won't cast a vote this year because they think for some reason that they would be dishonoring God by not voting. We are very, very passionate about our belief that God would have you steward your vote. And by not voting, you're essentially condoning the activities of the party that you are opposed to the most. So if you think about it that way, it's so important to get out and vote today. And if you're looking for voting resources, go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. Well, we conclude the special Election Day edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk in prayer. And as we go before the Lord right now as a nation, we've asked Mrs. Shirley Dobson, the former chair of the National Day of Prayer, spent 25 years doing so, to lead us in a word of prayer. And this is a prayer that she led before a special group gathered together here in Colorado Springs recently for a Family Talk event. Let's come before the Lord in prayer led by Mrs. Shirley Dobson.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. Lord, we're on our knees as symbolic of coming before you with humility. Lord, I have to say that I am ashamed of our country. I am ashamed that you set standards for the United States of America and you set morals. And we have flung them in your face, so to speak. Lord, let this little band of Christians here stand in the gap for the United States of America, knowing that we deserve judgment, but we call upon you for mercy, Lord. You said in your wrath you would remember mercy. Lord, we love this country, and we know you have done so much for the United States of America. And so, Lord, I pray that you would let us be the ones that are standing in the gap for our nation. Lord, I pray for a worldwide revival that would begin in our churches, in our homes, and even in our schools. We thank you for the young people that are trying to bring on revival in so many cities. But, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for these talented speakers that you are using in such a mighty way. And I just pray, Lord, that in your own time, in your own way, that you would raise up a generation of revivalists that are on fire for Jesus, and that we could turn this country back around to be what you expected and wanted it to be. Lord, we love you. Again, we ask your forgiveness for the sins of this nation, but we also ask for your mercy and your love and your grace, and that you would, with our help, turn this country around. And we ask this prayer today. I want to pray for those that are traveling. Please give them traveling mercies, Lord. Get them home safely. Again, we put this election in your hands, and we pray thy will would be done. And Lord, I want to end this prayer by saying, God bless America again. Land that we love, stand beside her and guide her through this night with your light from above. And we ask this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, Amen.
Amen and amen. God, we are praying that you are hearing the prayers of your people today and that your will would be done and your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, especially here on this election day. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. And for Dr. Dobson, Mrs. Dobson, and all of us here at the JDFI, thank you so much for listening. May God continue to bless America and show us his grace and mercy.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.